also on the R2 convention planning meeting and was on the 8 o'clock call this morning. So Jerome up here, this is her second meeting of the day, and she also chaired the convention when it was the Bay Area last time. So I will join you and ask you to join me in giving her a big warm welcome.
Thank you. And it's good to be here. I've never been to this meeting, so it's my first time in this building. It's a beautiful building, and this is beautiful people here, and I recognize a few faces, you know, folks I haven't seen in a while, and a bunch of new faces, which is awesome. And I guess what I want to say, if, you know, once I get into my story, I might get a little lost in the message, but, you know, this is a we program. Like, I can't do this by myself. You know, if I get to it in my story, there's a part where it's like, God wasn't going to strike me abstinent by myself praying, you know, wanted me to be here working with you guys, you know, one day at a time. You know, how do we stay abstinent? How do we stay sing with food one day at a time? And Beth mentioned some of the service I've done. I do a lot of service, and I think that's an important part of my program. And my observation is that everyone I know with long-term abstinence, and I'm talking like 5, 10, 20 years, they've worked all of the steps and they do a lot of service. So if you hear nothing else, do the steps and do service. That's my big thing. So I've got pictures, which will hopefully, can you tell me I have five minutes left?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to ask who to do the question first. Who would like to do that?
Do it. Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
What is it, 15
minutes? 10 and then 5.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thanks, sir.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Yeah, so, whew. So I'm 42. I've been back in this program for, it'll be 16 years in May. And I first tried Overeaters Anonymous in 1990 when I was still in high school. I was still in high school. It was my senior year. And, you know, I don't know if I was born a compulsive overeater, but I remember the first time food being an issue was when I was in second grade, and I went to a doctor's appointment, and the doctor told my mother that I was overweight. And all I can say is that I must not have matched up on some height weight chart, because there's a picture of me in there about the time I was told I was overweight. And I'm like, I look pretty normal, I think. So, you know, to this day, height weight charts mean nothing. I mean, for years in abstinence, I was technically overweight, you know, by like 2 pounds. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm eating abstinently, I feel good, my clothes fit. What's the problem, you know? Anyway, but whatever. And to this day, I don't weigh myself if I can help it. You know, I go to the doctor and I weigh backwards, and I figure they'll tell me if the number's a problem. But so I remember, you know, being told I was overweight, and the way I could lose weight was to stop eating seconds and not have dessert. And I'm so grateful my parents did not become the food police. You know, watching every bite and saying, "Do you really need that?" But you know, I would get praise if I turned down dessert or didn't, you know, have seconds. So that message got in there that, you know, it wasn't okay to eat what I wanted when I wanted. And like I said, I'm not sure what I was doing with food at that time, but around that time, after that, doing lots of compulsive overeating. Like, you know, I was a kid at the party, you could eat everything at the dessert table, and, you know, any holiday that involved candy, you know, my stash, well, lasting a week was a long time for it to last for me. And I kind of passed for normal. I was kind of a chubby preteen, but then I got taller and, you know, everything kind of rearranged itself into girly ways. And, you know, I looked pretty normal through high school, maybe a little on the heavy side, but I think I could pass for normal. There's a picture of my prom in there, and you can judge for yourself if I think I'm the heavy side of normal or the light side of heavy or whatever. But, you know, pretty normal-ish, I think. I wasn't the fat kid, let's just say that. But I know I was doing the behaviors. Like, I remember in high school just being just disgusted with myself with how much I could eat, you know, and nobody questioned it in the house because, you know, like I said, my parents were not the food police. The only rules around food were, you know, you could eat what you wanted as long as, you know, unless somebody specifically said save that for X, you could eat what you wanted. And I learned recently, maybe like 10 years ago or so, that, that, you know, if food ran out of something, I think they assumed my brother ate it. Because my brother is 6'5". He was very athletic growing up, and he just needed to eat a lot more than I did. And there was one point where I thought, well, he's thin. If I eat like him, maybe I'll be thin. Right. the boy rode crew or and ran 2 hours a day. It's like, and he was 6'5", like I said. And the men in my family have amazing metabolisms. I think there's some compulsive readers in my family that just don't gain weight. But that's their thing. Anyway, so the first time I heard about a meeting was in high school. There was a teacher had this poster on her door and it said anorexia, bulimia, try Overeaters Anonymous. Now, I wasn't practicing anorexia and I wasn't practicing bulimia. And in fact, back then, those were like the only like food eating disorders anybody had ever heard of or was talking about. And I do remember being a teenager and having this feeling that something was wrong. Like, you know, like I kind of related to, you know, the guest teen speakers or the movie of the week, you know, where the kid's getting abused or they're abusing alcohol or doing drugs or, you know, there's something wrong in their life. But I wasn't doing any of those things. So how do I ask for help just for being a fat slob or, you know, somebody who overeats? You know, I didn't know how to ask for help on that. And I remember talking to my doctor about it once, my pediatrician. She gave me some really, really lame, like, oh, when you go out with your friends, you know, get a Diet Coke. And I'm like, we don't go to places like that. We would go to this gourmet ice cream place near my house. And we would have binges at people at our, you know, we would eat a lot at other people's houses at parties and stuff. So it wasn't helpful, you know. And I was eating at home. I was sneak eating out of the cupboards and stuff. So it's like having a Diet Coke when I go to McDonald's with my friends does not help. So that was not good advice. Anyway, so I go to this first meeting. It was the Easter of 1990, or sorry, the day before Easter of 1990. Happened to be at this hospital that I could walk to from my parents' house. And I definitely found every reason to be different. You know, I was the youngest, I was the whitest, I was the straightest, I was the singlest, I was the this, but there was one thing in common, and that's what I'm going to say right here, everybody here. Everybody in that room was or had been doing things with food that were destructive to themselves and wanted to stop. And that was the hook. And so I think I went back to my, I think it was after I graduated high school, like a couple months later, that I finally went back to another meeting. And it kind of, it worked for a while. You know, I went to meetings, I got a sponsor, started working the steps, lost a bunch of weight, got down to about where I am now. My lowest adult weight was 116. I'm quite there yet, but I recently lost some weight, but that's a whole nother story. I got down to 116, was looking fan-frickin-tastic, thank you very much, if I do say so myself. there's a picture in there. And anyway, and I started college, and I loved my freshman year in college, at least the first couple weeks. I mean, because I was loving my classes, I meet all these cool new people, I got this really cute boyfriend, and it was just really fun, and and then just sort of the pink cloud burst and a lot of life started happening. My grandfather passed away, and that caused this, which ended up causing a huge rift in my mom's side of the family. Talk about fourth stepfather, but that's a whole other story. And then, you know, I started eating at my grandfather's wake, and maybe before that, but I started eating a lot, and I couldn't get a hold of my sponsor, and then when I finally got a hold of her, she told me she couldn't sponsor me anymore for her own reasons. She wasn't firing me for overeating. But, and it kind of made sense because she hadn't been there the last few times I tried to call at our normal time, even when I was abstinent. So it was like, okay, yeah, you're right. You can't do this. But then I floundered around the program after that, trying to find another sponsor, trying to connect with friends. I mean, I was like 17, 18 years old that year. And, you know, I mean, I know it's an issue. There's not a lot of quote unquote young people in the program. And, you know, every time I connect with somebody, I went to college in Oakland, so there's a lot of meetings in Berkeley and Oakland area, and you know, there's a lot of schools there. So there were a number of young people, but they were very transitory. Like I'd make friends with somebody, but then they move away, or they graduate and leave, or you know, or they whatever, quit the program, or whatever happened, and it was really hard to make friends, and I couldn't find a sponsor either. Like I could just, so I'm right here saying it. I know it's hard to find sponsors, but just keep asking, because this second time around, it took me probably a year back in program to find my first sponsor back. So. Just keep asking, it can happen. But yeah, so I couldn't find a sponsor, couldn't get abstinent, couldn't make friends, blah, blah, blah. And I woke up one morning and realized, hey, you know what? No one is holding a gun to my head and telling me I have to go to meetings. I'm still going to graduate. I'm not going to go to jail. You know, blah, all this kind of stuff. It's like, it was kind of, what's going to happen if I stop going to meetings? Nothing. That's what I thought. And I just quit going. No, but I realized I have a choice. I have a choice about going to meetings or not. And y'all do too. So thank you, every single one of you, for showing up. Because at least at this moment, we're all abstinent, and at least at this moment, we all want to be abstinent, so rock on. so I left, and then, you know, as I like to joke, I had the freshman negative 15, because I was really abstinent, like, and then I had the sophomore 70. I gained that much weight in that year, and that was, I would say, categorically the worst year of my life.
because I was overeating like crazy. I was dating an active alcoholic and drug addict who was abusive, but in my codependent way, he was so great when he was sober. Anyway, and then I was living with my roommate was another compulsive overeater who was a very, very angry woman, a serious slob. I mean, to the point where one night in the dorms we had a fire alarm and I slept through it. And when the RA is going through to make sure everybody's gotten out, she didn't realize that the lump in the bed was me, not a bunch of clothes and junk. So yeah, thank God it was a false alarm. Anyway, but she had a car. This roommate had a car, and she would go to the store with me anytime I wanted. So there you go. That's the kind of stuff I was accepting. And I only my theory about how I passed my classes is that I think I had a pretty light class load, as I recall. So I think that's the only reason I didn't, you know, have this plummeting GPA. But so gained a lot of weight. I think the highest number I ever saw on a scale was my senior year in college, which was 189. I'm very sure I got higher than that because that summer I was really sedentary. I went on a road trip after graduation with my boyfriend at the time, and he was a smoker, and he not to take his inventory, but he quit smoking on that trip, and he used food to cope with no cigarettes. So hey, I have another binge buddy in the car. So we're just like sitting there eating, you know. Wow. I remember some of my clothes were pretty tight by the end of that trip. So what happened? Getting into more recovery part. So after we came back from that trip, I started working. And at one point I was working two jobs. So it means I went to work 7 days a week. And the days I went to both jobs, my schedule was pretty much this: get up around six, have some breakfast, go to my morning job, work that till 12:30, drive to my afternoon job, eat some lunch. Is that 5 minutes left? Wow. Okay. I got to hurry the hell up. Get a dinner break and then go home and go to bed, you know, like 11 o'clock, and then get up and do it all over again. I just didn't have, and then in that 3 months where I worked those two jobs on that kind of schedule, I lost like 20 pounds, and I wasn't trying to control portion sizes. I wasn't abstaining from any particular foods, but I just having those boundaries around my meals just, you know, helped me lose weight. So there you go. Food plan, 301 food plan, 3 meals a day, nothing in between, you know, one day at a time. Bam. That's a fantastic food plan for anybody who's struggling with that concept. So anyway, let's fast forward to like getting back into program. What happened here? What happened to get me back? So I eventually got a better job and was only working one job. And at one point, I remember I kind of stayed this middle weight. So I said I lost that 20 pounds when I was doing that two job thing. I kind of stayed at that sort of middle weight for a long time. But then there was starting to be days where the clothes that were loose in the morning were tight when I came home at night. So it's like, I need to do something about this. So I joined this commercial weight loss program that my company would pay for, and got down to about here again. And then I started doing amazingly crazy things with food, like even crazier than I'd done before, like, you know, going to the store with, you know, just enough clothes on to not, you know, be naked, and having the story for the cashier, and hiding from some cute guy at my church because I didn't want to see me buy all this junk. And just really messed up with food. And there was one time I ate so much I threw up chocolate because that's how much I ate. So I remember like at one point praying to God about, okay, I want to do something about compulsive overeating, but I'm not going back to Overeaters Anonymous to do it. I was so clear. I understood the physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of the disease. And I was like, I'm going to take care of the physical with this commercial diet plan. I'm going to take care of the spiritual with this church group I'm in. And I'm going to take care of the emotional with therapy, which I was also in. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, none of those three things, there's nothing wrong with any of them. I know plenty of people that use them outside of the rooms, and that's awesome. And I've done it myself alongside program. But they alone were not keeping me abstinent. And I'll tell you, my higher power is definitely a power greater than myself, because a month after I told God I was not going to go back to Overeaters Anonymous, I walked into a meeting. That was May 1st, 2000. And, you know, so similar to, you know, my first meeting, you know, it was weird. I was thinking, oh my God, what losers. But I was like, well, this is where I need to be. And in that almost 16 years, I've never wanted to leave. I mean, I have been pissed off as hell at some people. I've had some resentments I've had to work through. You know, I've had challenges. I've had disappointments, blah, blah, blah. But mostly I love everybody. I mean, I swing back and forth. Mostly I'm on the I love everybody side. But I've never wanted to leave, even when I've been really upset about stuff. Because I just know this is where I'm supposed to be. So I probably only have like 2 or 3 minutes. I can't really get through my whole step story, which I which is awesome. Let's just say the steps are so great. I mean, I've worked them a number of times. I'm on my my third sponsor since coming back. And this one seems to stick. This one's really awesome. I did my first sponsor who I had no issue. I mean, she got me through my first night step amends. And let me just stop and say that there's a couple schools of thought about abstinence and working the steps. Some people are like, you really shouldn't work the steps till you're abstinent. And I get that. That makes sense. If you want the clarity of the abstinence comes to be able to work your steps. On the other hand, I didn't get my current abstinence, so I was well into my first set of night step amends. So I'm kind of on the school of like, well, for some people, you got to work the steps to get abstinent. That's just my opinion. So I when I sponsor people or they look, ask me to sponsor them, I ask them, where are you in the steps? Like, well, I'm starting over. I'm like, no, you're not starting over. Are you close to step four? Okay, we're going to do step four. There we go. Or whatever. You know, what's the last step you did? That's just my opinion. That's how I do it. That's what works for me. How much time do I have left? Is it really just like
50 seconds?
50 seconds. All right. So I'll wrap it up. And God, as fast as I talk, I couldn't get it all in. Anyway, and I love you guys are laughing. This is great. I'm really grateful to be asked to be here. I'm glad I made it here. I'm glad Higher Power gave me the resources to make it here, because long story, but yeah, it was a little scary at first. Like, I don't know if I can do that. I can do it. It'll happen. God will take care of me, you know, because he always does. And, you know, including sending me to Overeaters Anonymous and giving me everything I needed to stay out of the food one day at a time, and not do it alone. That's the other thing I want to just ram home. It's like, I don't have to do any of this alone. You know, staying abstinent, dating, steps, figuring out work, you know, health things. There's always somebody around who's willing to at least listen. I'll give you a hug. And with that, I'm going to pass. I'm dying to hear what you guys have to say. Thanks. Mm-hmm.